Welcome to Wrestling with Kayfabe with your boy Papa Shro and my man EDJ. What's going on, EDJ?
Trying to figure out what the hell's going on with the promos.
Man, that's a fact. It's been an interesting week of seeing some really good promos and interesting ones as well. I feel like obviously MJF and CM Punk, that was a classic segment. Definitely really enjoyed that. It felt like they kind of tried to copy that on SmackDown or Raw. It was Raw this earlier this week with Edge and Miz. Obviously different variables, but very much the same. You know, the heel interrupts the face, and at the end, they get to a point where they're about to throw down. Heel bails and says, "Not tonight."
Well, that's, you know, wrestling 101 when it comes to for promos sure. And heel bailing and things like that. But if you're looking for, you know, just a dream promo versus promo, what you got on AEW was about everything you were looking for in that scenario. I mean, you know, MJF, who's 25.
That's crazy.
You know, and he's arguably one of the 10 best wrestlers on the mic in the world right now.
Yeah, all around, I think he's definitely placing himself as one of the best wrestlers right now.
Right. And, you know, you have one of the best, if not the best microphone guy of all time. You know, in in-ring work, probably top 15. But I think his microphone skills carry him in the rankings higher than his actual in-ring ability.
Absolutely.
In terms of CM Punk. Not that he's not great in the ring, but his overall ability and storytelling and knowledge of wrestling is what carries him deeper in the rankings rather than his actual athletic ability.
And the ability to just connect with the crowd.
Right. Which, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of what you want. Because, I mean, you know, not like John Cena was this freak athlete, but he had the ability to connect to the fans. He had the ability to cut promos. And he had the ability, you know, to catch heat when there's a heel for 5 minutes. You know, he understood the psychology of it, just like CM Punk understands the psychology of wrestling. We were just watching a little bit of Ruthless Aggression, just like The Rock understands the psychology of wrestling. Mm-hmm. If you understand it, it'll take you a long way. And I think MJF understands it very well.
Absolutely. I think that everything that was said, the way that the promo moved to right down to the end where, like, I feel like that's what made the Miz's feel stale with the Miz and Edge, because mm-hmm. It's like we saw it done so good on was that Dynamite, I think, or Rampage
or Dynamite.
So seeing how well that they did that, and I mean, I don't know, I believed every second of it, like when MJF was taking the ring off and mm-hmm. you know, getting ready to throw down, and I definitely thought something was gonna happen, and then he bailed and I was like, oh, got me. That was good. But with the Miz, you kind of knew that's what was going to happen. And it was kind of corny with the, oh, you want to dance? Because he's coming back from Dancing mm-hmm. with the Stars. You want to dance with me? I was like, I like it. But, you know, because I personally really like the Miz. I think mm-hmm. the Miz is great. He's in the same category like we're talking about. He may not be the greatest in the ring, yeah, but
psychology
and promo wise, he is top notch. And that is what carries him. And I don't know. So I just felt like MJF's was just, we saw, like, if we would have saw it the other way around, I think the Edge and Miz one would have been better, if that makes sense. Maybe a little bit. In retrospective, it would have been kind of the same.
I think it would have been better if it wasn't such a random person to throw to Edge.
Or if there was even something there, like from prior or something, because I like where they were going, because when Miz came out and, like, you know, oh, I didn't get the big hero welcome like Edge did, mm-hmm. like, you know, Edge just keeps coming back. Like, what? Because, I mean, yeah, what is this? Like, his third comeback in the last, like, 2 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, so I get the psychology of that, like, where they, but it did, yeah, like you said, it just felt like, why? You know, right. why? He could have chose to, you know, come in on Big E or anybody, you know, pretty much that was out there.
Well, I think right now, and it's actually a good thing, is they're pushing Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens for Big E, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if those are your two top guys, you know, against your number one babyface, so use it. And another guy, who, I mean, kind of repeating ourselves, but it's true, another guy who's really good at psychology is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's fairly underrated on him because he's pretty good in the ring.
Different, too, in the ring.
Right.
That was one thing, first time seeing Kevin Owens wrestle. I never saw him wrestle until NXT. Mm-hmm. So, seeing him wrestle and stuff, it was definitely a new approach, per se.
Well, he got taken to the next level when they did that Roman Reigns rivalry on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That, to me, put Kevin Owens in a new light. Because they were trying to push him there, you know, but he didn't really... The Braun Strowman stuff was what was going to get him there and all that. So they put him in Roman Reigns. I thought he did great with it. You know what I mean? That Last Man Standings match, the Royal Rumble, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best Last Man Standing matches I've seen in years. It was really, really good. It was like the old style Last Man Standing. You know, and they both just put on a great show. But I mean, you know, Roman Reigns is probably the best in-ring performer they have right now.
If we were doing power rankings, what would you say your top five would be right now?
Just on in-ring ability, Roman, Seth, AJ, Owens, and that fifth one's hard.
Now, you're just going off WWE. What about if you put them together?
Oh, yeah. Shit, if we put them both.
Yeah.
Still doing Roman 1.
I agree.
Probably Omega 2, just because he's so different. AJ Styles 3. Man.
Yeah, the last few are tough because, like, I think you got to put Punk in there just because of how hot he is and how seamlessly he's transitioned right back into the business.
You can, but I was trying to name the guy. Well, AJ Styles is about as old as CM Punk is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, you're trying to think of younger guys, but...
MJF, who we were just talking about, yeah, I think could possibly be up in there.
Yeah.
Hangman Page is another one that's hot.
Well, here's the thing. It's hard for me to bench AJ Styles because even at 42, he's in his 40s. I mean, to still be doing 360s and, you know, all the flying elbow. I mean, you can't put him under 5 because I don't think anybody at that ability would be able to do that. And he's still really good psychology-wise in the ring.
And a good promo.
He's a fantastic heel.
Yeah.
I
know, I like him as a face, but yeah, he is a really good heel,
He's
too.
A good heel. I mean, I hate to put WWE guys there, but they're there in WWE for a reason. I mean, I'd put Kevin Owens at 4, you know, and I think I'd put MJF at 5. But...
I don't disagree with that take. I mean... Because there's so many people you could put up there at this moment. There's a lot of guys doing a lot of good work right now, both sides, but... WWE, the only thing with WWE for me is it's not that I hate it, it just feels stale, I guess. I don't know why, because I think the top of the card on Raw, watching Raw the last couple of weeks, it feels like that's all they got.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily know why, because I was thinking about that when during Edge's promo and he said AJ Styles, and I was just like, where's AJ Styles?
Well, yeah, he's tied in that tag team, probably turn on Omos. Which,
yeah.
I
would have liked to see AJ have a title run with him as his bodyguard. Especially heel-wise, that I think that would have been great. And like a world title run.
Yeah, I think they tried.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right timing. And maybe it will be, but, you know, like I said, I think using Seth Rollins, because if anyone's worked himself into a title shot in the past 2 years, it's Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And coming back from people calling Seth Rollins not cool, you know, to getting him back to what he's good at. You know, now he's back to being one of what he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if anyone's worked themselves back into one, it's Seth Rollins.
The only thing that I miss about kind of this character that he's got is the authority backing him.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was great. I know a lot of people, you know, feel different ways about that run with Seth Rollins, but when he cashed in and became the champ, and that was what made me a real Seth Rollins fan.
Right.
Because I didn't care too much for him. Out of the Shield that came out, I was, you know, Moxley, Dean Ambrose was who I wanted to see. And it turned into Rollins.
Damn, you just said John Moxley and I forgot about him. I mean, I guess, you know, he's got some personal issues he's going through right now. So he's out. So I guess that's kind of how you forget about him, because he's not there right now. Moment. But he I couldn't put him above MJF.
Right.
To me, his style is so different. But I don't think he's super sharp in psychology compared to the other five.
Moxley.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he just, you know, prefers the different type of style that he does, which is really good.
Yeah. He likes the hardcore stuff.
But, you know, it's not going to get you anything. There are a lot of promos on WWE programming, Raw and SmackDown. Both of them were on Raw. And it was Edge and Miz talking about John Morrison getting fired. Which, by the way, I was thinking about this the other day. If you're upset about John Morrison getting fired, what has he done since he came back?
Be Miz's henchman, essentially.
And then once he left the Miz, what has he done since then?
Yeah.
I mean, people are so attached to the names. You know, what has Nia Jax done in the past 2 years?
Oh, nothing. That one was long overdue,
That one makes the most sense to me.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I
think the only reason that she hadn't either been put back in developmental or let go is because of her family ties.
Mm-hmm. When they let go of Braun Strowman, you know, what more were they going to do with Braun Strowman?
Yeah. Well, and I think Braun Strowman was a good time because you kind of started to see him fall off. They didn't capitalize on Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman, I think, is such a telltale for WWE, because you have to capitalize on stuff when it's going. Like they're doing with Roman right now. I mean, they're being very smart. The Roman Brock thing, we'll probably get to this, but the possibility of The Rock coming back with Roman.
Right.
You have to strike when it's hot.
Right.
You have to feed the hot hand. And Braun Strowman is, I think, such a... You got to look back on that and be like, damn, we didn't pull the trigger on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because he was red hot for a minute and killing it, you know, in ring. And so I think with him, it was a good time and a good decision, because it did feel like he was starting to become like late 2000s Big Show, you know, where it's like he's definitely a force, but do we really take him serious?
Right. Yeah.
Not the same Braun Strowman that destroyed the Survivor Series match for 20 minutes, whatever year that was.
Right. And I mean, there's not a lot more you can do with that kind of character. It kind of runs its course. I mean, it ran its course for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I think with
him battling Bray Wyatt and The Fiend, I think that was a perfect kind of door shutter. On his character, really.
And that's the other thing, too. I mean, what more was he going to do after that?
Right.
So, I mean, that was kind of like the period on his career. I mean, mm-hmm. It started with Wyatt and it ends with Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know, in WWE, anyway. So, WWE actually kind of booked themselves in the corner of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how do you start the guy's career with Bray Wyatt and then continue his career after the Wyatt feud?
Right.
You know, it's...
I think the only way that they could have booked that was to basically put him back with Wyatt.
Right.
Him end up kind of, you know, in that weird way of like, okay, you beat me, now I'm your partner. You know,
right.
Type of thing. And I think that could have worked. I don't know. There's so many things, especially with Wyatt, that's just... Fuck.
Right.
They fumbled that man's entire career.
Well, you know, no one knows where he's going yet.
And absolutely.
Mean, which makes me think that he's working on talking to Vince on WWE again.
Yeah.
I mean, because usually when it happens, that means that they're waiting out for Vince to come to them.
Do you think that he maybe can't get enough money that he wants from AEW to jump ship? Like AEW maybe not willing to pay him as much as what he thinks he's worth?
That... And I don't think AEW has the room.
I agree.
Because I mean,
where do you put him? At the same, because if I'm Bray Wyatt, I'm looking at it and seeing like, at this point, if I'm not jumping into AEW and starting at the top, mm-hmm. and AEW, I don't even think that would be a good fit for him, really.
No.
In a way, just because of the. I don't know. I still kind of sit and watch and don't 100% understand. I understand that they want the real sport value of it and wins, losses matter. But, you know, like a character like Wyatt, I don't think that you can put something like that on.
No.
I don't want to see Wyatt come out and, well, okay, you need to win 5 to 10 matches and be, you know, 10-0 before you can compete for a title. I don't need that. Because right. I need the lights to go out and him to be there and, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Something... And, I mean, you want to go to Impact?
Yeah.
You know, and take their title? What is that really worth
right.
in 2021?
Well, I think this is, you know, a really big opportunity for them to right the ship and let him beat Roman at WrestleMania.
That would be insane.
I mean, because the whole reason...
But do you bring back The Fiend?
Well, that's the whole idea of The Fiend character, isn't it?
Yeah, I just, man, you burned him alive on television.
You did, but he regenerated at WrestleMania. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do. But, I mean, to me, you don't bring back The Rock. You could, but The Rock has to lose. The
right.
only thing that makes sense, and they may do it, they probably won't, they may, if they get the contract right, is for Wyatt to beat Roman at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that'd be insane. I mean, I'm all for it. I'm a huge Bray Wyatt fan.
Because
so.
I think one of Wyatt's biggest issues is he's never had that WrestleMania moment.
No, and man, they tried with Orton,
mm-hmm.
and they failed miserably.
Yeah.
And even then he lost to Orton, right?
Yes.
So, never mind. I guess I'm...
Well, I mean...
That was the dumbest... I'll never forget watching that live, and it's the first time they showed whatever the maggots or something on the ring. And I was just like, what are we doing?
Well, and you know, Orton, again, at WrestleMania last year, you know, with Alexa Bliss turning on Wyatt, which was so random, but I don't know... I think they knew that they needed a Sister Abigail character because that's mm-hmm. what they talked about. But it was dumb. But I think they can right the ship by bringing him back.
That, and not to mention if they did bring him back to SmackDown to beat Roman, at least we got a while before we have to deal with any of the BS that we did with Bliss, Orton, you know, like, to actually have to, you know, deal with it, essentially. Right. Because you're keeping him away from those characters, and then maybe at some point you revisit that, but I think that it has to be some time to pass, because... Yeah, the stuff with Bliss, I never understood how she turned on him, but then kept the character. And then I guess I haven't 100% kept up very well with everything the last year or so, but what's she doing? What's Bliss doing now? Is she even on TV?
I think she's out right now.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you know, she gets hurt every 6 months, so.
Yeah. To talk about, to shift to Randy Orton for a minute, RK-Bro is kind of starting to really grow on me. I kind of actually like that. And Orton looks really good.
Yeah.
Their tag team match on Raw against Ziggler and Rude, the finish to that was beautiful, I thought. Because Orton fakes a roll-up. You know, he goes for the roll-up, and my first thought was like, oh, here we go. Here's a fucking win with a roll-up. And... he rolls through, just kind of basically throws Ziggler, and then I can't remember if it was Ziggler. Oh, they count. Okay, so it started with Orton going for the RKO, and Ziggler counters it into a zigzag, kicks out at two. They get up. Orton, you know, fakes the roll up, and then when Ziggler gets back up, he runs at him, RKO, and then 1, 2, 3. I just thought that was really good because it took me through a little ride, you know, just for a second of like thinking like, oh, here goes the roll up 1, 2, 3. Oh no. Oh, RKO. Okay. That's a good ending. You know, it was really nice, but I think Orton's on the top of his game right now. And even like the little promos between them, I hate how dumb they make Riddle out to be. And especially because the man was a fucking professional cage fighter.
Right.
He was in the UFC. He was winning. He was one of the top prospects at one point in the UFC at welterweight. So how they treat him sometimes, I'm just like, why is he an idiot?
Right.
I get the stoner, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, I just, why is he so stupid on TV? Because this week before the match, he's like, you know, whining about how he dressed up as Randy Orton the week before. Yeah, which was great, because Orton is basically saying, you need to be more like me. And he was like, oh, okay, bro. And then he comes out, and he's in full, and he's doing the whole, like, pumping up for the RKO, and RKO's Ziggler and wins the match. And so this week, he thought Orton was going to dress up as him. And he was like, oh, man, bro, I thought you were going to be me. And he was just like, shut up. No. We don't need to dress up as each other. And then... Riddle's like, oh, close your eyes. And he puts a blonde wig on him. And he's like, you have 2 seconds to take this off of me. And so, you know, it's just, it's funny. It's good comedy. Like, you know, it's a great team. You know, like, what it almost reminds me of is Booker T and Goldust back in the day. Because those comedy sketches with them was just gold. And, you know, so some of that was really good. But, yeah, I just, every time that I see them interact, I'm just like, why is Riddle so stupid?
But, you know, that just adds to Orton's... character of whenever he stabs him in the back, it's going to hurt that much.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I mentioned Orton in my 5. I maybe didn't, but God damn it, he's great.
Man, I mean, that's a fact. He's one of those you just take for granted because his character work is so good. His psychology is amazing. And in the ring, it just like what I was talking about, the reason I bring it up is because Orton is so smooth and effortless. You know, it just looks like he's not even trying. Like, you know, faking the roll up and then, you know, and then going for the RKO. It's just perfect. Yeah. Everything's perfect.
Well, everyone talked about, you know, Orton early in his career, how he was kind of a dick and, you know, well, he was a dick.
Right.
But, you know, there's some rumors about, you know, certain things.
He liked to shit in bags.
That, and, you know, something about his, I don't even know, something about his junk. And
I'm not sure about that one, but yeah.
I don't think they found any proof on that one, but
I mean, he was hanging out with Flair.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to solicit Ric Flair for so many years, I mean, you know, you might as well just let Randy Orton go. But anyway, we were talking about promos, and we kind of got excited. But just promos in general, I know I gave my five, and it keeps changing every time I'm speaking, thinking of more people.
Right.
But if Becky Lynch could be in a, you know, in the male role, and I think she definitely could be, but if she could fit into that top five wrestling role, she would be like 7th B. I mean, her, and this isn't like old Becky Lynch, this is like the last 3 years Becky Lynch.
Right.
I mean, just the overall understanding, the psychology, I mean, the promos, the, you know, the ridiculous coat she wore Monday night, the glasses. I mean, now, you know, she...
That was great.
She gets it.
Yeah.
You know, and she's showing something that Ronda Rousey didn't get. I mean, this could be Ronda Rousey right now.
Absolutely.
I mean...
Well, and when you think about Ronda, she was never that.
Right.
You know, even when she was at the top of her game in the UFC and stuff like that, I mean, she was always straight to business, no nonsense, you know, she was never given no McGregor-type promos or anything like that. I mean, I don't think that was ever going to be her. And so, yeah, the crowd is going to turn on her at some point.
Right.
And well, we talked about all this the last episode a little bit.
Yeah. I think they, at one point, gave her, like, a couple of Kane promo lines. It was like eviscerate.
Ronda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote for Ronda did not do her any favors. But,
yeah,
you know, at the same time, she was not.
And just the way Becky carries herself. Like, right. When they came out for that 10-woman tag match or whatever they did on Raw, and Becky comes out and she's holding her chin as high as she can up in the air with the, you know, holding the belt up in the air. That's a fucking champion. Like, you know, she carries herself like a champion. She carries herself and, you know, and she's like kind of teeters, plays on that like you like it, but then she also kind of throws some jabs into where.
Right.
And even like, well, like we were talking about when we were watching this Ruthless Aggression with The Rock and talking about his, the promo he did at the Rock concert in Sacramento, talking about the Kings. She did that on Monday night with the Islanders, I believe. But just to even, and granted, maybe some writer wrote that line for her, but just to even, you give the perception of like you really cared, you know, whether it was the writer or it was her, somebody cared to go in and see, oh, the Islanders suck right now, you know? And I mean, I don't even know. They could be great. Yeah, I don't pay attention to hockey too much, but you know, just to know the fact that they're struggling. Oh, let's, you know, here you go. Here's a nice shot at the crowd. Right.
Well, speaking of crowds, apparently that crowd was terrible. One,
really,
and two, they didn't really sell many seats.
Well, you got to think they were in Long Island, New York, which, you know, AEW just killed, you know, a few months ago.
Right, and I guess they're going back again, and they sold 3,000 more seats than WWE, but WWE was just in New York, and they feel like they just kind of killed. They were basically getting the stragglers from whomever missed, you know, the last couple shows or WWE shows.
Oh right, well, because wasn't that big event that they did? Wasn't that Long Island, a stadium? Man, what was that? Was that the I can't remember what the hell they called that. But it was a big stadium show that AEW did not too long ago. It was one of CM Punk's first few matches back. I don't think it was the Darby Allin match, but I think it was right after that. Because I want to say that they did that on just Rampage and, you know, they did a Dynamite and then they taped a Rampage at that stadium. Mm-hmm. So, because that was the Daniel Bryan Kenny Omega match, I think.
I think.
And they did that in the stadium. So, yeah, and they sold it out. It was like 20,000 seats.
Right. I mean, they can't. I actually saw something on Snapchat the other day, AEW had a poster. And out of the five people on the poster, guess how many people were originally signed by AEW and are AEW originals?
Two.
Zero.
Wow.
Out of the five, all five of them were WWE releases.
In my head, I guess I thought probably Hangman, Kenny Omega. So who were the five on the poster?
Ruby Riott, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. There were two other, maybe there was four, but none of them were AEW. Man. They were all, oh, Adam Cole. They were all WWE guys and girls.
That's crazy.
Which is what I said, you know, last week, you know, is AEW has to be careful because, I mean, now you're leaning towards
WCW.
WCW.
Well, I think as long as they book it right and they don't just make it to where these guys overpower them and, like, show, you know, book it to be, you know, an AEW guy is the equal to a WWE guy. Because when you think about how WCW and the NWO played out, like, great idea, great initial plan. But then, like, you know, the long-term effect of it, and you think about it as, like, three WWE guys came in and put your whole roster on notice.
Right.
Like, nobody could do anything because three of their guys came down here. So you just have to be careful with booking it like that because, I mean, even, what was it, Bobby Fish and Adam Cole and their tag match that they had in their, you know, I can't remember who they faced this past week, but, you know, they won, and, you know, I'm just thinking, like, man, it just looks like NXT. In a way, you know, right. Like there's the...
And by the way, Kyle O'Reilly is under contract with WWE. We weren't sure about that, but he is.
Okay.
He's with somebody in NXT right now.
I think his ends at the end of the year, though.
Right.
But I think Roddy might be sticking around for longer. I'm not 100% on his contract.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you have to be careful if you're AEW, because, I mean, your main storylines are with Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Adam Cole, and eventually, you know, Ruby Soho, same thing.
Right.
And so that's four of your main stories with four people you just picked up from the biggest wrestling company in the world.
All WWE time. Maybe in a way that's Vince's thought process on a lot of these releases. Is that I'll let them go grab all these people and, you know, these people can make good money and my guys will go destroy their guys.
Right.
Essentially. Because, I mean, essentially that's what happened in WCW. And, you know, at this point, who knows where Vince is and where Vince's head is with all of this.
Well, he's been on TV the last 2 weeks and it hasn't been great.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Right. But I just mean in the sense, because in the 90s, you know, like a Bret Hart or, you know, guys that were like, you know, I can get this much money in WCW for half the days that you're giving me. And Vince would say, go get the money.
Right.
You know, like there was no, it was business, you know. And so it seems like over the years, stuff has gotten a lot more personal. And, you know, it's not as much. So I wonder if he does, how he views this right now. Because a lot of the early kind of reports or whatever you want to call insider stuff, it was that, you know, anyone going to AEW is seen as a traitor, you know, and they will not be welcome back.
Well, I guarantee if Daniel Bryan comes back, he'll let him back.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean, CM Punk.
You never say never in wrestling. Right. CM Punk, though.
Was probably never going to come back to WWE. I mean, they did the thing on Fox. But he's hired by Fox.
Even the fact that they let him on there, you know, because you know WWE had to clear that and let him on there is, I think that was big. I think that at the end of the day, Punk could come back if he wanted to.
He could. I don't know if he's going to.
Oh, I don't think he ever will.
They actually are talking about, because Triple H just had a surgery to where they basically said that if he wanted to wrestle again, he just can't. So his in-ring stuff is done for good, even though it should have been a while ago, but it is now. But the rumor mill is that it's been bad because Triple H hasn't even been there.
Yeah.
So
Well, and Vince taking over NXT.
Right.
NXT 2.0.
Right. And that's, people wondered why, but I think that's the reason why. Because Triple H has been out with an injury, and he just had surgery. And
you don't think there's any beef between Triple H and Vince?
I don't know if you can beef with someone that...
Or rift, I guess. Something like that.
I don't know if you can rift with someone who's been in your family for so many years, has basically done the exact same thing he's been doing since 99.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Triple H, don't make no mistake about it, made a lot of decisions in 99, you know, of what happened with the product.
Yeah.
You know, because the dude has lost 30 matches his whole fucking career, and he's been in the business since 93.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and, but, you know, at the same time, if Vince tells you to win, you don't say no thanks.
Right.
You know, so, you can't.
If you're going over, you're going to take it.
So, eventually, I think he takes over. I think Shane just doesn't have the interest like he used to. And, you know, that was pretty prevalent in his TV work. Past year or two. And maybe it's just because he's, you know, older and he doesn't have the same vinegar when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but young Shane McMahon was great as a heel. You know, and when he took over WCW and, you know.
I liked him as an authority figure on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed his work.
Well, the story they told with him being the authority figure. With The Miz. That was a great story. Yeah.
I think he got a little too involved wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's some good stuff in there, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz stuff. And then, you know, him and Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really good for the simple fact that was kind of a long, kind of drawn out process. Because it started with KO, headbutting Vince, you know. And
like, right.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, Vince, though, these last couple weeks, this whole egg thing. Just...
Well, apparently, from what I've heard, is The Rock actually told them that, you know, it has to be for the WWE Championship, because it was his movie, you know, so if they were saying that if whoever found it would get, like, a 24/7 title shot.
Right.
And the company that ran the movie and The Rock said no. It has to be bigger than that.
Right.
And that's why Austin Theory got a championship match, which, I mean, you know, that's fine. You know, I think if you have one-offs like that, like you used to back in the early 2000s, that's fine. Give somebody a one-off, you know?
Yeah. I did notice that. I noticed there was more title matches, it seemed like, on just, you know, weekly programming than mm-hmm. I remember. Because what was the other title match? There was a U.S. title match on Raw, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the tag titles were also on the line. And I mean, you know, even if you're not going to change hands, maybe every once in a while you have a title change hands on a Raw or SmackDown. Right. And that way at least you get the, you know, the feel that it could happen. And, you know, I think title matches on weekly TV are a big thing that we miss from the Attitude Era, I guess, really. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, Attitude Era, it seemed like somebody was always, you know, there was a title always on the line everywhere, you know, but, I mean, obviously titles changed hands like hotcakes, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like, you know, just having that, just having a world title match on a SmackDown, like, I think just gives extra incentive to one, you know, if you advertise that people will come out, because at the end of the day, I mean, that would entice me more to, I know there's a SmackDown coming here in Kansas City in, I think it's January. They're coming here, maybe February, but...
Before Mania.
Yeah, SmackDown will be here on the road to WrestleMania. They usually come to Kansas City on the road, but either way, you know, if I saw there's a title match, I might be a little more enticed to be like, oh, okay, I should go out and, you know, at least see, you know, maybe it's Roman Reigns versus, you know, I don't know, any guy on the roster, and he destroys them.
Right.
It's a title match, you know, I don't know.
Well, how they do it and how they used to do it, I'm sure they still do it the same way. I went to SmackDown when it was over at Kemper, still. Maybe it was... I don't know. It's either Sprint had just started or Kemper Arena was still
Sprint Center would have been built in, what, 06?
06, 07. It may have just been the brand new Sprint Center. I think it was the brand new Sprint Center at the time. And SmackDown was here. And they, you know, it was, I think it was the SmackDown before WrestleMania. So it must have been when WrestleMania was in Chicago. Because they wouldn't have traveled that far the night before. But they did the whole TV show, and then Teddy Long came out and announced a World Heavyweight Championship match, a dark match, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, and Mark Henry. And that was cool shit.
That way, and you don't even put it on TV. You know, that's just something for the crowd. Yeah. Yeah, the dark stuff that they do afterwards. You know, one thing I always thought about, or that I think about AEW doing their AEW Dark on YouTube, I like that. I think that that was such a smart idea of them. Because at the end of the day, there's so much wrestling programming. And you know, WWE, I think, has a bit of a problem with that. Because, I mean, how much TV do they put out a week? Just between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, you've got, what, 3-hour Raw? Is NXT 2 hours?
2 and 2, I think. Yeah.
So, 3, 2 and 2. That's 7 hours of television in a week. I mean, that's a lot of wrestling to put out. And then not to mention, I mean, they still run Main Event or Superstars or anything. Right. I mean, I'm sure they do. 205 Live is still happening, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure. Because I was looking that up this week, because after I finished Ruthless Aggression, it just, Peacock started on whatever the next series was of, and it was the first ever episode of 205 Live. I was like, that's random. Does this even still run? And sure enough, there's a recent episode of it. So it's just like, you know, there's so much wrestling content to be out. YouTube is such a smart channel, because you just get so many thousand people watching on YouTube. I mean, that's just extra revenue you're bringing in, you know, for your brand. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that AEW, I think, has done really smart in that regard of, like, you know, even just like the Being the Elite, and then Cody's got his own thing going on YouTube, and, you know, using outlets like that. But I like the concept of the dark, because it's just kind of that concept of, like, what you don't see in the, you know, if you're not actually there.
Right. Well, you know, and they used to do these all the time. I don't think they do them much anymore. They used to do, you know, literal dark shows. Yeah. They would just go to rent. I went to one in St. Joe.
I went to one in Columbia when I was a kid. Yeah.
And, you know, it was the most random show, but they had, you know, Batista was world champion at the time, and it was just a bunch of random shit, you know, but it was the best show because they only had the best matches.
Do crazy stuff, right? Yeah. Right. Well, the one I went to in Columbia was during the invasion, and Mick Foley randomly showed up, and I think I don't know who he, but he wanted a sock from the crowd, you know, for a socko, you know, stuff like that. Stuff like that's so fun. And I went to a live show on the road to WrestleMania 30. They didn't have a Raw or SmackDown that year. Because usually they come about February to Kansas City. And it was just a house show, WWE live event. And it was interesting, you know, because it was just that small little ramp set up. And the main event was Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan in a steel cage match for the World Heavyweight WWE Championship. And just like I was talking about a minute ago, I mean, the title was on the line. I mean, you're on the road to WrestleMania. You're at a dark show. We know who's winning, you know, but it was still fun, the fact that the titles were on the line. And to throw a steel cage on top of it, it's like, yeah, some of those dark shows are the greatest thing to go to, because they just put on a fucking show.
Right.
You know, they don't have to worry about it being broadcast to TV. I mean, maybe it gets on social media or something like that. Someone records it, puts it on YouTube. But even then, it's not, you know, it's just different.
It is, but, you know, that's part of the wrestling business. I think Jake the Snake Roberts on Joe Rogan's podcast a couple of years ago when they did that. If you haven't listened to that, listen to it. Or I guess you can watch it. But, That's one of my favorites. I think he said at one point they'd work 30 plus days straight.
Man.
And they'd be on the road, you know, 280 days a year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think a lot of people don't understand that. You know, yeah, there may be, you know, only these shows a week on TV, but these guys are still working every night.
Right.
You know, you're still going to, you know, you may, like I said, the one in Columbia or St. Joe, like you said, is, you know, you're stopping at a auditorium or, you know, like, I think the one that I went to in Columbia was in Mizzou's, I don't even want to say it was the actual arena. Because it was a really small venue. Like, it did not hold a lot of people. I don't think it was even their actual basketball arena. I almost want to say it was like a practice type of... I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I was a little kid, so... But, you know, you're going to these, you know, much smaller events. And, but, you know, you're still putting in the same matches every night. And, you know, honestly, you may go harder on a random night, you know, in front of a good crowd...
Right.
Not even on TV. Or like a guy like Kurt Angle, who's going to tell that guy to, you know, go light tonight.
Yeah.
What is light? Yeah. What is the wrestling machine?
Yeah. Well, we've done a couple of different shows, and I think we still have one in the vault of their match of No Way Out between Kurt and Shane.
Oh, yeah.
But they talked about Kurt Angle all the time, about how you literally had to bring your best to the ring, or he was just going to run over you. And he was just so intense that it was hard to tell him to not be intense, because he'd just be more intense. So you had to just go with it, because the dude was trained to rip your head off, and he's not going to, but if you don't do it right, he'll do it on accident.
Right.
So that's how trained he is. So, I mean, you know, it's hard. They said it was hard to wrestle him and not be as good as you wanted to be, because he was going to make you do that.
Right.
And that's why the John Cena and Kurt matches were so good. Because they both had, you know, so much intensity, and they both wanted to put on a good show. And the John Cena and the Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle matches, both of those are two of the best matches of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, in the WrestleMania match was their best one, but they had a rematch. Is it Vengeance? It was a random pay-per-view.
Who did?
Kurt and Shawn.
Yeah.
It was a random pay-per-view, but it was phenomenal. I mean, you know,
I almost want to say that I can't remember if it was Kurt or Shawn, but I think it was Shawn Michaels that said his favorite WrestleMania match was Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And that kind of surprised me, because those two with The Undertaker. And for it to be Kurt, like, I mean, I get it.
Right.
Like, absolutely, I get it. But it was just kind of crazy, like, man. But yeah, Kurt Angle, I mean, that is one guy that, you know, you just knew he was bad. You know, he was a good wrestler.
Right.
He was the best wrestler.
Well, you know, and just obviously from stating the obvious, I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, professionally and amateurly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you have a lot of skill there. And they talked about, he actually talked in the Ruthless Aggression, and he talked about doing the bumps, and he literally quit the first day.
Yeah.
He said, fuck this, I'm out of here. But they, you know, they said, just stay with it. And he did, and, you know, I mean, we're talking about one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
once he was able to show that personality, you know.
And honestly, I think he carried himself even in a higher light when he went to TNA.
Yeah, you know, I'm not 100% familiar with all his work from that time, but, you know, from what I have seen and stuff, I never kept up too much with TNA ever.
Well, TNA was so different. You know, with the six-sided ring, and all the different characters, and the, you know, the tunnels for entrances, and, you know, in an actual soundstage, and, You know, it was just a different feel. You know, because they're literally doing the show in an amusement park.
Right.
So it was a completely different type of show, but it was cool. And the weird thing was they never left Orlando.
Right.
You know, until the mid-2010s.
Yeah.
So they were always at one spot. And I think that's why a lot of WWE guys went there, because they didn't have to go anywhere.
Just, yeah, you don't have to shows travel. Every night, you know? Yeah. You think that has anything to do with the fact that that's where WWE set up shop in Florida? They kind of took a page out of that.
It could be, and Florida's super cheap
yeah.
to buy land in, or sure. to own land in. So, I mean, there's that. And, you know, Orlando is a pretty big hub for a lot of different things. So,
yeah.
I think they were trying to avoid LA, in, you know, which is horrendous expensive, you know. And, yeah. and
smart move.
Right.
So, and not have people stuck in Connecticut.
right. And I guess they're building a new headquarters. I can't remember where it's supposed to be. But
do you think WWE is going to sell? Or Vince is going to sell the company?
I don't know who you sell it to.
The only two that I've heard is Disney and NBC.
I mean, he could, but, you know, I think he'll try to keep it in the family.
That's what I thought, too. But, you know, a lot of the preparations that the UFC took and made, it seems like they're kind of doing the same thing at WWE, because a lot of people speculate that that's kind of what's happening with the releases. They're kind of trimming fat, getting mm-hmm. rid of excess contracts to make it more appeasing to whoever wants to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because, yeah, at the end of the day, I would be shocked, no matter what, if it did go down, even if we saw the writing on the wall, we knew it was coming, I'd still be shocked. Because at the end of the day, that's his father's business that he's going to sell. Right. And even him going public, you know, whenever they went public, I don't know mm-hmm. exactly when that was. But just even doing that is crazy, because now you are turning it over to more people, you know, whoever's buying into, right. you know, your company and stuff.
Well,
but it's creating an empire.
Yeah,
you know,
he definitely has. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's made billions more than he would.
Yeah, they would not be on the level that they are if they would have never went public.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll sell it. I mean, he could, and he might. But I think, you know, Triple H is kind of the give and take over. And I think a lot of people would want that move to happen. And maybe it still would even if they sold it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would write in, you know, certain controls they still have. Right. You know, because it's his business he's selling. So he'd have to.
I mean, is there a way you think that they could run WWE into the ground at this point? I mean, like, if he were to turn it over, I feel like there would kind of always be that, oh, it's WWE, you know, type of thing. Obviously, if Disney were to buy it, it would become a very child-friendly.
It would. Well, I don't know, because Disney owns Fox. So, you know,
that's fair.
It's... I think Disney knows the lane of when to use child entertainment, when to use normal entertainment.
Right.
So I think they'd leave it alone, but I think, you know, they'd own it. Fuck, they own everything else. So
yeah,
I mean,
right.
you know, you might as well just let them own it. I can't see him taking more money than he already has to retire with.
Vince.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he doesn't need money.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely not earning for any money.
Because they were talking about WWE being the most profitable it's ever been in a long time.
Well, and that's part of the reason why people are upset about these releases.
Well, and it just goes back to what we talked to at the start. What have those people done in WWE before they released them?
I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, at this point, I mean, how do you... You got to figure out a way to elevate people to the next level. Because kind of going back to me talking about how Raw feels kind of stale, it just feels like there's no real star. Right. I want to believe in Big E as a star. You know, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, but like it just kind of feels like they're on this playing field, and then, you know, you go a step above that and you got Brock Lesnar and you got Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, I think we were talking about this before we started actually recording. You almost booked yourself into a corner because who can beat Roman Reigns? Like, there's no one, like, we talked about on the podcast, I know for sure, with Bray Wyatt, that, right. That would be, you know, a perfect ending to this Roman Reigns, you know, and the family, and or The Rock, maybe. But even then, you know, can you book The Rock to win? Because at the end of the day, I mean, what, he's going to lose the title at the next pay-per-view. You know, I mean, you can't expect him to stay around very long, and I would hate to see Roman's, you know, year and a half title reign be ended by a guy that holds the belt for 28 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like, I mean, WWE does so many different things, but I feel like around February or January, late January, early February, he's going to be in the middle of the ring doing a promo, and they're going to hear the power grid start to go off. I mean, I feel like that is when Bray Wyatt will return.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And if you do it in a big enough place, or if you do it on a live show, I mean, obviously you do it on SmackDown, but, you know, you do it on a big stage.
Yeah.
You know, in a pretty full arena, and just let it sit there. And let Roman sell the fact that he knows, you know, that everything he's worked for in the last year, you know, is probably over.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to let him sell that. And he can. You know, and Paul Heyman will sell it really well.
Absolutely.
But I think that's what they're heading towards. Because if someone was to pick up Bray Wyatt, they would have picked him up already. I mean, there's no way you don't pick him up by now.
I agree. Because, I mean, his non-compete clause has to be over.
It's been over for a while.
Yeah.
Well, was it 90 days? Which is 60 days?
Well, even if it was 90 days, I mean, it's been at least a couple of months, right?
Right.
So, I guess it could be just close.
Well, no, because they said his 90 days was up on Halloween.
Oh, okay. So, it's been over a month.
Right. So, that makes me feel like they kind of took him off TV and made it, I think they made it seem like it's kind of, everyone's saying, you know, his contract is up, blah, 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 blah. WWE's been known to stretch the truth when it comes to that before, though.
Absolutely.
So, until he shows up on AEW, which I don't think he's going to, I think he'll be back in WWE.
I kind of hope you're right, because I would like to see him right the ship in WWE. I think that would be perfect. And, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to burn a guy alive on television, you're going to have to give him some time to come back.
Right. Right. And it...
Because that's been a year ago now? See, that was before WrestleMania last year?
Yes. Yeah, and he came back at WrestleMania. Which, you know... It was dumb, but there's nothing else you can really do about it. It was already done.
Right.
I'm going to throw it out there now. I feel like he will be back, you know, in time to stop Roman before WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that's a good, you know, best case scenario.
It is, but I mean, you know, you can't really book The Rock to win, like you said.
Yeah.
And I mean, unless you do like a family bloodline split.
Jay goes one way and Jimmy right. goes the other, possibly. Right.
But I mean, are you really going to give either one of those guys a championship?
Right.
So.
But I just mean, like, if The Rock came in and kind of split them up, mm-hmm. you know, one of them goes with The Rock, one of them goes with Roman, and then you have this big clash at Mania mm-hmm. between the two. I mean, maybe you could. But yeah, then again, I mean, you just can't book The Rock to win that match. Maybe The Rock comes back and Roman steamrolls him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be necessarily against that. Obviously, at that point, you know, Roman's kind of getting a little old. It kind of starts to feel like it's... I don't want to say it's getting old necessarily, but how many more things can you do with this run?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. I mean, he's beaten everybody. You know, he had the match with Brock. Like, that's about the only thing that you have to revisit.
That's why I think they're building up to, you know, who the hell... Are we gonna, you know, who are we gonna bring to this guy?
Right.
You know, to Bray Wyatt. Because they haven't had their match since he speared him at SummerSlam when he returned.
Yeah, you're right.
They had a match, but Roman came out when everyone was laid out at the very end.
Yeah, because then that's when he broke out with Braun Strowman and
right.
Fiend and Strowman. Okay. Yeah, that just brought everything back up to speed for me. Because, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Because back then, I already had thought that we should see a Roman versus Wyatt or the Fiend, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what a final chapter that would be. Damn, yeah. After you mentioning that, that is just perfect. Him come back, take the belt from Roman, and... You know, they could even have a series of matches or something like that. But even that, maybe have him beat Roman at Mania and come back again at SummerSlam for a, you know, give him some time off and
mm-hmm.
time to let that breathe and the Fiend to dominate for a while. We'll see. WWE's not the strongest at the booking, but...
They are when they want to be.
That is true.
And I mean, this is a story you could definitely hit a home run with.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
And by Mania rolling around, I mean, I feel like 70 to 80% of people are going to be pretty over the Roman Reigns thing. You know, because I feel like it's kind of starting to lose. Once they did the Brock thing, I feel like you kind of knew it was going to start to lose a little bit of traction. Right. Well, I think we've covered quite a bit.
We did cover quite a bit.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Give Becky Lynch more money.
Oh, man.
Give her more money. Give her as much money as she wants.
But they're going to have to release more ladies if they give her more money.
I mean, whatever you're paying Nia Jax, just give it to her. I mean,
man, yeah. Big time Bex.
She needs... I mean, I'm sure she's getting paid handsomely, but she needs more. Because she's carrying your whole company right now, outside of Roman Reigns. I mean, yeah. So, you know, give her as much as she wants. She deserves that. You know, and I'm not saying it because, you know, she's a woman. I'm not saying it because I feel like women get paid less. She fucking deserves it.
Yeah, she's earned it for sure.
You know, she deserves every penny.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And the fact that that's the other one. The women's title match is on Raw next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually kind of pumped for that.
Right.
You know, I'm excited to see that. They announced it. They had the contract signing.
And how often do you see a contract signing for a Monday Night Raw title match?
That was great. They did everything so perfect. Even just mm-hmm. down to Becky saying, oh, you're at a contract signing. This is the first time you've done this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like little things like that was just so good. And like, They've definitely piqued my interest with the Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch thing. And the comments of her, you know, saying, you know, your friends aren't around anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then Liv responds to that saying, you know, your big greedy contract is the reason, you know, people like my friends aren't around anymore. Like,
which that's not true. But, well. You know, and Ruby Riott's better off in AEW.
I agree.
You know, and I'll say this again, Sarah Logan was okay, but...
She fit with the Riott Squad.
Right.
I liked her with the, you know, I liked the Riott Squad. I thought they were a good little faction, you know, mm-hmm. in the women's division. But I think all three of them were pretty talented, but I think you're right. mean, Sarah Logan was the one that was like, okay, that's not the breakout star of this group.
Right.
Well, to another week of wrestling, and check us out on Instagram. We're on Twitter. Whether you listen on YouTube or whatever your favorite streaming platform is for a podcast, go ahead and give us a like, subscribe, 5-star review, all that good stuff. EDJ, you got anything else?
More reviews coming out shortly. Like I said, we still have that No Way Out one in the bank. Or was it King of the Ring?
King of the Ring.
King of the Ring. Yeah. Still have that King of the Ring match. Took it somewhere. We'll pull that one out. And we've got a lot more reviews coming. We still got a few. We've got a couple more. You know, give us some suggestions. We got that one. Give us a couple more so we can do them. So,
yeah, we love hearing from you guys.
Since we're in the journey, generic one.
I guess we're out of here.